Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On yesterday's call, we started discussing the seven deadly, D-E-B-T-L-Y, deadly sins. We're going to do a brief review, and then we're going to continue the teaching. Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings should never determine my financial destiny.
Amen.
Here are seven reasons why your background and circumstances. First, you're not on a fixed income. Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. Third, gain the victory over the victim complex.
Yes.
Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Fifth, stop looking to them and begin looking to him. Sixth, don't insult God by denying his word with the words of your mouth. Seventh, be careful about whom you associate with. Now let's move to the second deadly sin.
Yeah, a little. Number two, I can't afford and give offerings. James 4, verse 17, classic amplified, says, "So if any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin." If God is telling us to give tithes and offerings, which he does, then to not do them and not give tithes and offerings is one of the, and it'll prove out to be true, deadly sins. Malachi 3:10, classic amplified Bible says, "Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. "If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Tithing isn't conditional or based on our circumstances or needs at the time, but boy, it's a blessing. There is no asterisk at the bottom of the page that says, "Oh, so-and-so is exempt because they lost their job, or their hours were cut back, or they needed repairs badly on that car." You know, the clothes in our closets, the car in our driveway, the couch we may be sitting on, or the computer we're looking at right now, or the house we're living in, may have caused you to tithe irregularly. But unfortunately, the windows of heaven close over your life. And that is a tragedy, because God has it. He wants to bless. When we tithe, the windows of heaven are open. When we don't tithe, they remain closed. Our choice. Why are the windows of heaven closed until we tithe? Well, why do you lock your windows? To keep the thieves out. Malachi 3:8 in the Classic Amplified says, "Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob and defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings." Well, what does a robber do? They steal from people. In Exodus 20:15, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." Stealing what doesn't belong to us makes us a thief. However, when we do what God says, wow, we are positioning ourselves for a huge blessing. Giving tithes and offerings allows us to receive from God, and that's why he put it in, not to punish us or make us thieves, but to open the windows of heaven and bless us. When we give our tithes and offerings, he opens the windows and he pours us out. Wow. He pours us out a blessing that we shall not be able to even have enough room to receive it. Now, that's a kind of blessing.
Yes, it is.
That I like to hear about.
Yes.
And receive. We don't know about you, but we've got, you know, it says we would not have room enough to receive it. We got a fair amount of rooms in our house. And we got plenty of room to get, even a one-room shack has plenty of room to hold lots of blessings.
It's true.
There's only one place in Scripture where God says, "Prove me or put me to the test," and that is Malachi 3:10. When it comes to giving and receiving, we love what it says in the Message Bible, or how it says it. Says, "Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams." We have some pretty wild dreams, don't we?
Yes, we do, baby.
About what we could do to spread the word in this country and in others. God has made all of us dreamers, but we have to believe him and take his word on it. You know, God is going to, we've got to know really this. God provides for those who are obedient.
Yes, he does.
However, we also need to know that something's out of balance when we're working 40 hours a week and our paycheck disappears in less than 2 hours. If we do not tithe, the devourer will create a vanishing act for your money.
Yes, he will.
What do you have? What you get from your employer, your retirement plan, or any other source will be gone faster than my mother-in-law's banana pudding at a family reunion. You got to know, your financial sins can find you out.
That's right.
And let me throw in one other thing. If you're one of the well-intentioned but scripturally inaccurate believers who thinks tithing's a part of just the Old Testament and not the New, you need to go to HaroldHerring.com. HaroldHerring.com. And look for the blog, A Fresh Look at New Testament Tithing.
Number three, it's too good a bargain to pass up. Well, let me just say this. If you can't afford it, it's not a bargain.
Amen.
It's definitely a deadly sin to spend money you don't have on a bargain. You either don't need or need it at the moment. Proverbs 21:20, the Living Bible. The wise man saves for the future. But the foolish man spends whatever he gets. There will always be a bargain. In the history of the universe, one bargain is always replaced by another bargain.
That's right.
Number four, living paycheck to Prozac. Mm. If memory serves me correctly, I was speaking in Chicago at a debt-free rally. My friends Randy and Laurel in the audience, when God said to me, teach my children how to stop living from paycheck to Prozac. I've spoken that message all over the world and lived to hear others quote the words as if they were their own. But regardless, all wisdom comes from God. Speaking of godly wisdom, 1 Timothy 6:9-11. 1 Timothy 6:9-11, Classic Amplified. But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish, useless, godly, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. What does the world recommend for those with acute mental pains? Prozac. When the pressure of life becomes more than you can tolerate or handle, what natural remedy do doctors recommend? Prozac. When your money is continually running out before the month does, where do most people turn for relief? Prozac. Sadly, most families in the United States are two paychecks away from a financial disaster. The average working mom only spends 40 minutes a week playing with her children. If a person is not rooted and grounded in the Word, they look for emotional relief with Prozac or some other substance. Psalm 119:143, New Living Translation. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. The Word will not eliminate stress from attacking you, but it will destroy it. Mm. 1 Thessalonians 3:7, Classic Amplified Bible. It's another stress reliever when it says, brethren, for this reason, in spite of all of our stress and crushing difficulties, we've been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God, and complete trust and confidence. Here are seven ways more effective than Prozac in dealing with stress on a personal level. First, spend more time in the Word and in His presence. I realize you may have wanted me to give you a bottle with a genie in it. Let me assure you that having money will not in and of itself solve your problem, but time with God will. Every answer to every question to every stress. is found in His Word.
Second, communicate without playing the blame game. Talk to your spouse or your children about what's going on. Make sure everybody understands that whatever's what's coming from your perspective. And the most important thing is to not put the blame on anybody, but rather let's fix the problem. It's time to forget mistakes of the past and move forward by looking to the future.
Third, exercise will free your mind and liberate your body. When you exercise, you release endorphins, which refreshes and renews your body.
Amen. Fourth, eat properly. Unfortunately, stress, well, financial stress.
Or any kind.
Any type, really, adversely affects our eating habits. People sometimes binge on, you know, on goodies like chocolate chip cookies or Ben and Jerry's ice cream, or undereating like nothing at all. Neither extreme is really conducive to health. Discipline yourself to eat regularly at regular times and to eat those things which are good for you.
Fifth, sleep right. During financial stress, people either have trouble sleeping or sleep way too much. Neither option is good. If you have trouble going to sleep, find something that will relax you. Listening to soothing instrumental music.
That's right.
Or reading a book.
Amen.
I found that praying for folks while in bed will put me to sleep faster than any artificial sleep aid. Only use natural ones if that.
Six, guard your heart. During times of financial stress, the enemy likes to, well, he tries to place you in this daily routine, a sympathetic ear from someone other than your spouse. Do not fall into that trap. Over the years, millions have strayed, not even wanting to, strayed into infidelity, adultery, divorce, not intentionally, but because of some small compromise with evil. Small compromises lead to big compromises.
That's true.
Look, talk to your spouse. Work things through. Worst case scenario, talk to your pastor or work things through with a best friend. But, you know, I mean, female friend if you're a female, male if you're male. But work through situations you're facing or seek counseling from someone who can help you to make a decision.
Like your pastor.
That's it.
Seventh, shake up your routine. Develop a new inexpensive hobby. Do something you wouldn't normally do. Go for a walk with your spouse. Spend time at the lake sitting on the hood of your car, watching the sun go down as you talk about life, but not your current financial stress. And we'll continue with the remaining deadly sins tomorrow.
Mm.
Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says Sow a Seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. It will not lead you wrong.
That's it. We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.